A reserved mood.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this Wednesday morning. The Federal Open Market Committee is wrapping up its meeting in Washington today. And the Fed is expected to keep its key interest rate right where it is, basically zero. So what does that mean for us? You know, since we aren't in the overnight bank lending business, Tamara Keith is joining us live from Washington this morning. So the federal funds rate affects the prime rate. Yes, Tamara?
Yes, it does. And the prime rate basically moves up or down in lockstep with the Fed funds rate. The prime rate matters to us because credit card companies and banks use the prime rate as a baseline for interest rates on credit cards and home equity loans. Right now, prime is at 3.25%. So the rate we pay on our cards or our loans will typically be prime plus 2 or 9 or whatever it may be. So a low prime rate is good for us. But a low Fed rate isn't all good news, for sure.
It's not good news when it comes to savings accounts, right?
Exactly. The Fed funds rate drives interest rates on savings accounts and CDs, and it's driving them down. And this, of course, comes at a time when Americans are saving more than they have in a long time. So basically, our money just isn't doing that much work for us these days. I checked rates at a couple of the popular online savings account. ING is at 1.4%, Schwab is at 1.35%, Dollar Savings Direct, that's the best one, is at 1.7%. And basically, that is nothing compared to what it was a couple of years ago when the Fed rate was higher.
So we're all anxiously awaiting what the Fed will say later today. All right, Tamara.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Tamara Keith joining us from Washington. Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks.
China has arrested 4 employees of Rio Tinto, the global mining giant, today. The employees are charged with stealing commercial secrets and bribery. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us from our bureau in Shanghai to talk about those arrests. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
What's this all about?
Well, the Chinese media reports suggest what this is about is the price of iron ore. Now, mining companies like Rio Tinto dig the stuff out of the ground and they sell it to steel mills. A lot of those mills happen to be in China, and the price is negotiated every year between the sellers and the buyers. Now, the Chinese government, according to these media reports, suspects that Rio Tinto negotiators got inside information from the Chinese bargaining side by bribing people in China.
So who's been arrested?
Well, 4 Rio Tinto employees who are based in their Shanghai office, including one who is an Australian national. Now, they've been detained, actually, for 5 weeks since July 5th, and finally we know what the charges are that they face. What's interesting is the one charge they're not facing, that is stealing state secrets. That is a very serious crime in China, could carry life in prison. A lot of people thought that was coming, and it didn't come today. So under the current charges, it's a maximum of 7 years in prison if they're found guilty.
And Scott, how big a deal is this?
Well, I talked to people in the steel industry, and they've been freaking out over this case. I mean, the way business is done in China is what you and I might consider a little shady. A lot of paper and data are shared between suppliers and buyers. There's a lot of extracurricular activities, drinking and dinner and expensive gifts. And now the question is, okay, so what constitutes a bribe? It's always been a little fuzzy here. For multinational companies more generally, you know, there's some talk that China may be becoming a less friendly place for foreigners to do business. So the question is, have the risks kind of gone up a little? I should tell you, Steve, that Rio Tinto has denied these charges today.
All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong joining us from Shanghai this morning. Scott, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
And world markets are all over the place right now. European shares are slightly higher. London, Frankfurt, and Paris all higher by about a percent, less than a percent, I should say about 0.6% on average. Asian markets fell today. The Chinese benchmark lost 4.5%. The Hang Seng shed 3%. And the Nikkei in Tokyo had smaller losses today. Wall Street lost some more ground yesterday. The S&P by 1.25%. NASDAQ and Dow by a little more than 1% each. The Dow closed at 92.41, down nearly 100 points. And stock futures today are pretty much flat. Luxury home builder Toll Brothers says more home buyers signed contracts during its third quarter. The 3% increase is the first annual jump in several years, 4 years. Liz Claiborne reported a bigger-than-expected quarterly loss this morning as the recession kept many shoppers away from stores and malls. Claiborne owns Kate Spade, Juicy Couture, and Lucky Brand chains. Its second-quarter net loss had widened to about $82 million.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
You may find yourself out in the garden in these dog days of summer fighting a relentless battle against weeds in your tomato or cucumber patch. So pity the poor subsistence farmer. He or she faces huge losses from weed infestation, according to data out this week from the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
A familiar sound in suburbia, the electric weed whacker, but it's not going to cut it out in the fields, where farmers face an overwhelming task getting rid of weeds that can destroy entire crops. The UN says farmers worldwide lose $95 billion a year to weeds, and it's worst in the rice, sorghum, and millet fields of the developing world. Alan Watson is a weed expert at McGill University in Montreal.
Subsistence farmers are left with trying to deal with weeds with their hands.
In Africa, for instance, farmers spend more than half their field time weeding. Watson says sophisticated herbicides and crops that are bred to be immune to them are an option for farmers in rich nations, but not in much of Asia, Africa, and South America.
Very often, we're going to use herbicides. They're not available or they can't afford them.
The UN reports that weeds cost farmers even more than plant diseases, and they cancel out about twice as much food production as insects do. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, from the Marketplace food meets fashion category, Keds is making shoes with the design of slices of bacon on them. The company already has footwear with other food items pictured, pizza, cheeseburgers, even raw beef. You might find a sizzling buy from a store in a strip mall. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.